Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by Whiskey 8, Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. You have many net controls this evening. My name is Kathleen. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm merely opening it up this evening. I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we currently have a temperature, I believe, about 82 degrees. Had a high today of about 85, and where I was in my location, it was very, very stormy. So prior to starting, I would like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, come aboard. All right. That's always a great thing. How about anyone celebrating their birthday? Maybe today, maybe this week, maybe the upcoming week. Or anything else they'd like to celebrate. So we could say happy, happy birthday or congratulations on anything you're celebrating. So is there anyone out there that has something to celebrate? All right. No celebrations, no birthdays. I guess that means we're not getting any older. All right. This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. I do want to advise you that if you've been connected tonight for this net, it will be recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast, and you'll be part of that recording. So once again, our program this evening is Remembering September 11th, 2001. Hopefully all of you will enjoy the information that's been provided. Hopefully our net controls will enjoy presenting. So at this point, I'm going to throw it over to you, KY6B, from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Very good. Thanks, Kathy. Good evening, all. Gordon here, KY6V, and tonight's program, as mentioned, is going to be on September the 11th, 2001, and of course, the terrible day that it became. It started out like any other Tuesday, but that was short-lived, I might add. At 8:46 a.m. in the morning, a hijacked American Airlines flight was purposely commissioned to perform a suicide terrorist mission against the United States. It's purposely flew into the North Tower of the World Trade Center complex in Lower Manhattan. It was quickly followed by a second hijacked airplane flown into the South Tower of the World Trade Center in Manhattan, and a hijacked commercial flight was hijacked, flown into the Pentagon, and a fourth one went down in Pennsylvania when the crew decided they were going to take back control of their own airplane. When I say the crew, I'm talking the crew and the passengers. So to detail the day's terrific events, please allow me to start with our first narrator, David. He's over there in the UK. David, are you ready, sir, and ready to fly? KY6V, over.
KY6V from TW8SNL. I most certainly am there, Gordon. And here we go. Good evening from Wales. The story of September the 11th, 2001, has left an unforgettable footprint in the annals of history. These memories will never be forgotten. Within hours of the attacks, the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, determined that Al-Qaeda was responsible. The United States formally responded by launching the War on Terror and invading Afghanistan to depose the Taliban, which rejected the conditions of U.S. terms to expel Al-Qaeda from Afghanistan and extradite its leaders. The U.S.'s invocation of Article 5 of the North Atlantic Treaty, its only usage to date, called upon the Allies to fight Al-Qaeda. Now, as U.S. and NATO invasion forces swept through Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden disappeared into the White Mountains, eluding captivity by Western forces. Although bin Laden initially denied any involvement, in 2004 he formally claimed responsibility for the attacks. Al-Qaeda cited motivations included U.S. support of Israel, the presence of U.S. military bases in Saudi Arabia, and sanctions against Iraq. The nearly decade-long manhunt for bin Laden concluded on May 2, 2011, when he was killed during a U.S. military raid after being tracked down to his compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. The war in Afghanistan continued for another 8 years, until the agreement was made in February 2020 for American and NATO troops to withdraw from the country, and the last members of the U.S. Armed Forces left the region on August 30, 2021, resulting in the return to power of the Taliban. Reset. Not including the 19 hijackers, the attacks killed 2,977 people, injured thousands more, and gave rise to the substantial long-term health consequences, while also generating at least $10 billion in infrastructure and property damage. It has been described by many as the deadliest terrorist attack in human history, and remains the deadliest incident for both firefighters and law enforcement personnel in the history of the United States, killing 340 and 72 from each organization. The loss of life stemming from the impact of Flight 11 secured its place as the most lethal plane crash in aviation history, followed by the death toll incurred by Flight 175. The destruction of the World Trade Center and its environs seriously harmed the U.S. economy and induced global market shocks. Many other countries strengthened anti-terrorism legislation and expanded their powers of law enforcement and intelligence agencies. Cleanup of the World Trade Center site, colloquially known as Ground Zero, took 8 months and was completed in May 2002, while the Pentagon was repaired within a year. After delays in the design of a replacement complex, construction of the One World Trade Center began in 2006. That was November 2006. It opened in November 2014. Memorials to the attacks include the National September 11 Memorial and Museum in New York City, the Pentagon Memorial in Arlington County, Virginia, and the Flight 93 National Memorial at the Pennsylvania crash site. Reset. The origins of Al-Qaeda can be traced back to 1979, when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan. Osama bin Laden traveled to the country to volunteer, viewing the war as a holy cause to help fellow Muslims in Afghanistan defeat communist invaders, which were the Soviets. Bin Laden organized fellow Arab Mujahideen, which are also known as the Afghan Arabs, to resist the Soviets until that country's exit from Afghanistan in 1989. The U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, funneled several billion dollars worth of weapons to the indigenous Afghan Mujahideen resistance, a portion of which bled to the Arab volunteers. However, no direct U.S. aid to bin Laden or any of his affiliates has ever been established. In 1996, bin Laden issued his first fatwa, calling for American soldiers to leave Saudi Arabia. And in case anybody who's not sure of what a fatwa in Islam is a formal ruling or interpretation on a point of Islamic law given by a qualified legal scholar, known as a mufti. Fatwas are usually issued in response to questions from individuals or Islamic courts. Reset. Now, in a second fatwa in 1998, bin Laden outlined his objections to American foreign policy with respect to Israel, as well as a continued presence of American troops in Saudi Arabia after the Gulf War. Bin Laden used Islamic texts to exhort Muslims to attack Americans until the stated grievances were reversed. Muslim legal scholars have throughout Islamic history unanimously agreed that the jihad is an individual duty if the enemy destroys the Muslim countries, according to bin Laden. Okay, this is GW8SFL with the SCARS Thursday Information Net. I'm looking for any check-ins or any questions at this time. If you'd like to check in or have a question or a comment, please call now.
3K2DY, just checking in. No real comments. Thanks, Dave. VK2DY.
Okay, thank you, Robert. VK2DY, check-in only. Okay, do we have any check-ins or comments or questions so far? Okay, hearing nobody else, I'm going to pass it over to my good friend, Chief, at W4RFJ, to continue along. W4RFJ, GW8SNL, it's all yours, Chief.
Hey, thanks, oh great, Petrified One, GW8SZL. This is W4RFJ, and hello, everyone, from Rainbow Springs, Florida, and here is more of the story. Bin Laden orchestrated the attacks. He initially denied involvement, but later recanted his false statements. Al Jazeera broadcast a statement by him on September 16th, 2001, I stress I have not carried out this act, which appears to have been carried out by individuals with their own motivation. And no, that was Obama. I mean, not Obama. That was bin Laden. Sorry about that. My brain is fried. In November 2001, U.S. forces recovered a videotape from a destroyed house in Jalalabad, Afghanistan. In the video, bin Laden is seen talking to Khaled al-Harbi and admits foreknowledge of the attacks. On December 27, 2001, a second bin Laden video was released. In the video, he said, "It has become clear that the West in general and America in particular have an unspeakable hatred for Islam. It is the hatred of crusaders. Terrorism against America deserves to be praised because it has a response to injustice aimed at forcing America to stop its support for Israel, which kills our people. We say that the end of the United States is imminent. Whether bin Laden or his followers are alive or dead, for the awakening of the Muslim Ummah nation has occurred. It is important to hit the economy of the United States, which is the base of its military power. If the economy is hit, they will become reoccupied." That was Osama bin Laden. But he stopped short of admitting responsibility for the attacks. Shortly before the U.S. presidential election in 2004, bin Laden used a taped statement to publicly acknowledge al-Qaeda's involvement in the attacks on the United States. He admitted his direct link to the attacks and said they were carried out because the events that affected my soul in a direct way started in 1982 when America permitted the Israelis to invade Lebanon, and the American Sixth Fleet helped them in that. This bombardment began and many were killed and injured and others were terrorized and displaced. Let me reset the timers. As bin Laden continues, he said, "I couldn't forget those moving scenes, blood and severed limbs, Women and children sprawled everywhere, houses destroyed along with their occupants, and high rises demolished over their residents, rockets raining down on our home without mercy. And as I looked at those demolished towers in Lebanon, it entered my mind that we should punish the oppressor in kind and that we should destroy the towers in America in order that they taste some of what we tasted and so that they be deterred from killing our women and children. And that day it was confirmed to me that oppression and intentional killing of innocent women and children is a deliberate American policy. Destruction is freedom and democracy, while resistance is terrorism and intolerance. Bin Laden said he had personally directed his followers to attack the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Another video obtained by Al Jazeera in September of 2006 shows Bin Laden with one of the attack's chief planners, Ramzi bin Ashibu, boy, I'm having tongue-tied moments here, as well as two Hamza al-Ghamdi and Wael al-Shari, as they made preparations for the attacks. The U.S. never formally indicted Bin Laden for the September 11 attacks, but he was on the FBI's most wanted list for the bombings of the U.S. embassies in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, Nairobi, Kenya. After a 10-year manhunt, U.S. President Barack Obama announced that Bin Laden was killed by American special forces in his compound at Abbottabad, Pakistan, on May 1st, 2011. All right, let's see if we got any questions. I know my head's spinning from all that. Anybody like to check in, please call now. This is W4RF and the J. Okay, I know everybody's fighting to get to the mic, but just call in and I'll get you on the list. Anybody wanting to check in, please call W4RFJ. Okay, nothing heard. Well, I guess we'll pass it over to the alien life form, Greg, KE5ALF. It's your turn, sir. You ready?
Thank you very much, sir. This is Greg, KE5ALF, your resident alien, ALF. And please allow me to continue with the evening's coverage. Early on the morning of September 11, 2001, 19 hijackers took control of four commercial airliners, two of which being Boeing 757s and two Boeing 767s en route to California. Three of them headed to LAX in Los Angeles and one to San Francisco. After takeoffs from Logan International Airport in Boston, Massachusetts. Newark Liberty International Airport in Newark, New Jersey, and Washington Dulles International Airport in Loudoun and Fairfax counties in Virginia. These were very large planes with long coast-to-coast flights were selected for hijacking because they would be have more fuel. The four flights were, starting with American Airlines Flight 11, a Boeing 67 aircraft, departed Logan Airport at 7:59 a.m., en route to Los Angeles with a crew of 11 and 76 passengers, not including the five hijackers. The hijackers flew the plane into the northern facade of the North Tower of the World Trade Center in New York City at 8:46 a.m. United Airlines Flight 175, a Boeing 767 aircraft, departed Logan Airport at 8:14 a.m. en route to Los Angeles with a crew of 9 and 51 passengers, not including the five hijackers. The hijackers flew the plane into the southern facade of the South Tower of the World Trade Center in New York City at 9:03 a.m. American Airlines Flight 77, a Boeing 757 aircraft, departed Washington Dulles Airport at 8:20 a.m. en route to Los Angeles with a crew of 6 and 53 passengers, not including the five hijackers. The hijackers flew the plane into the western facade of the Pentagon in Arlington County, Virginia at 9:37 a.m. United Airlines Flight 93, a Boeing 757, departed Newark International Airport at 8:42 a.m. en route to San Francisco with a crew of 7 and 33 passengers, not including the four hijackers. As passengers attempted to subdue the hijackers, the aircraft crashed into a field in Stony Creek Township, Pennsylvania, near Shanksville at 10:03 a.m. Let me recite here real quick. Media coverage was extensive during the attacks and aftermath, beginning moments after the first crash into the World Trade Center. The four crashes. Collapse of the towers, seen from across the Hudson River in New Jersey at 9:03, United Airlines Flight 175 crashes into the second World Trade Center. At 7:59, American Airlines Flight 11 took off from Logan International Airport in Boston. 15 minutes into the flight, five hijackers, armed with box cutters, took over the plane, injuring at least three people and possibly killing one. Before forcing their way into the cockpit, the terrorists also deployed an apparent explosive device in order to frighten the hostages into submission, while additionally spraying mace into the cabin to further hinder any efforts to resist. Back at Logan, the United Airlines Flight 175 took off at 8:14, more or less the same time as Flight 11's hijacking. Hundreds of miles southwest at Dulles International Airport in Fairfax and Loudoun Counties, Virginia, American Airlines Flight 77 left the runway at 8:20 a.m. Flight 175's journey proceeded normally for 28 minutes until 8:42 a.m., when another group of five hijacked the plane, murdering both pilots and stabbing several crew members. Before assuming control of the aircraft, as was the case with Flight 11, the hijackers used bomb threats to install fear into the passengers and crew and sprayed chemical weapons to disable any opposition. Let me reset here real quick. Concurrently, United Airlines Flight 93 departed from Newark International Airport in New Jersey, originally scheduled to pull away from the gate at 8 a.m. The plane was running 42 minutes late. Okay, at this time, I would like to ask if there's any questions or comments before I turn it over to the next narrator. One more time, is there any more check-ins or questions before I turn it over to KO4UMQ Woody? Okay, this is KE5AOF, and I'm turning over to the next portion of our comment and of this program to Woody, KO4UMQ. It's your turn, sir.
Thank you, Greg. Good evening, everyone. This is Woody, KO4UMQ, continuing. At 8:46 a.m., Flight 11 became the first plane to reach its target when it was deliberately crashed into the north face of the World Trade Center's North Tower. Although the initial presumption by many was that this was merely an accident, at 8:51 a.m., shortly after the North Tower was struck, and only minutes following the hijacking of Flight 175, American Airlines 77, was also taken over by another group of five who forcibly entered the cockpit 31 minutes after takeoff. Although the hijackers were equipped with knives, there were no reports of any onboard actually being stabbed, unlike the first two planes. Nor did the two people who made phone calls mention the use of mace or a bomb threat of any kind. 17 minutes after the first plane crashed into the North Tower, Flight 175 was flown into the South Tower's southern face at 9:03 a.m., instantly proving to the entire world that the first crash was not an accident, but that of a terrorist attack was underway. after waiting 46 minutes to make their move, a holdup that proved disastrous for the terrorists. When combined with the delayed takeoff from the runway, four men aboard Flight 93 struck suddenly, killing at least one passenger before storming the cockpit and seizing control of the plane at 9:28 a.m., turning the plane eastward and setting a course for Washington, D.C. Much like their counterparts, the first two flights, the fourth team also used bomb threats to get their way and again filled the cabin with mace. 9 minutes after Flight 93's hijacking, Flight 77 crashed into the west side of the Pentagon. Because of the two delays, the passengers of the crew of Flight 93 had time to be made aware of the previous attacks through phone calls to the ground. Knowing their lives were forfeited rendered the bomb threat moot, and an uprising was hastily organized in the hopes of taking control of the aircraft, with an assault on the hijackers being launched at 9:57 a.m. Let me reset the timers. Within minutes, they had fought their way to the front of the cabin and began breaking down the cockpit door. Fearing their captives would gain the upper hand, the hijackers rolled the plane and pitched it into a nosedive, crashing it into a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, southeast of Pittsburgh, at 10:03 a.m. The plane was around 21 minutes away from reaching D.C. at the time of the crash, and its target is believed that to have been either the Capitol building or the White House. Some passengers and crew members who called from the aircraft using the cabin airphone service and mobile phones provided details. Several hijackers were aboard each plane. They used mace, tear gas, and pepper spray to overcome attendants, and some people aboard had been stabbed. Reports indicated hijackers stabbed and killed pilots, flight attendants, and one or more passengers. According to the 9/11 Commission's final report, the hijackers had recently purchased multifunction hand tools and assorted Leatherman-type utility knives with locking blades, which were not forbidden to passengers at the time, but were not found among the possessions left behind by the hijackers. A flight attendant on Flight 11, a passenger on Flight 175, and passengers on Flight 93 said the hijackers had bombs, but one of the passengers said he thought the bombs were fake. The FBI found no traces of explosives at the crash sites, and the 9/11 Commission concluded that the bombs were probably fake. On at least two of the hijacked flights, American 11 and United 93, the terrorists tried to ensure nobody would resist by claiming over the PA system that they were taking hostages and were returning to the airport to have a ransom demand met, an obvious attempt to deceive those on board into staying put by way of false hope. Both of these attempts fell on deaf ears, however, as the hijackers' pilots in both instances, Muhammad Atta and Ziad Jahar, respectively, keyed the wrong switch and mistakenly transmitted their messages to ATC instead of the people on the plane as intended, in the process tipping off the flight controllers that the planes had been hijacked. That concludes my portion. So right now I'll ask if there's any check-ins or any questions. This is KO4UMQ. Are there any check-ins or questions at this time? If so, please call now. Well, nothing heard, so I'll turn it over to the next narrator, David, KB9EWG. The mic is yours, sir.
Well, thank you, Woody. Nice job on your part, and to the other narrator as well. Nice job there. It's sad we got to do this type of thing to remember, but it is part of our history here. So So it says David KB9EWG now will be presenting the closing session for this evening. Three buildings in the World Trade Center collapsed due to fire-induced structural failure. Although the South Tower was struck 16 minutes after the North Tower, the plane's impact zone was far lower into a corner, which the unevenly balanced additional structural weight causing it to collapse first at 9:58 a.m. Having burned for 55 minutes in the fire caused the crash of United, caused by the crash United Airlines Flight 175 and the explosion of its fuel, the North Tower lasted another 29 minutes before collapsing at 10:28 a.m. 1 hour and 40 minutes after being struck by American Airlines Flight 11. When the North Tower collapsed, debris fell in the nearby 7 World Trade Center building, damaging the building and starting fires. These fires burned for nearly 7 hours, compromising the building's structural integrity, and 7 World Trade Center collapsed at 5:21 p.m. The west side of the Pentagon sustained significant damage at 3:12. Security camera footage of American Airlines Flight 77 crashing into the Pentagon. The plane collides with the Pentagon approximately 86 seconds after the start of recording. Let me reset here. At 9:42 a.m., Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, grounded all civilian aircraft within the continental U.S., and civilian aircraft already in flight were told to land immediately. All international civilian aircraft were either turned back or redirected to airports in Canada or Mexico and were banned from landing on the United States territory for 3 days. The attacks created widespread confusion among news organizations and air traffic controllers, among the unconfirmed and often contradictory news reports aired throughout the day. One of the most prevalent said car bomb had been detonated at the U.S. Department's of headquarters in Washington, D.C. Another jet, Delta Airlines flight number 1989, was suspected of having been hijacked, but the aircraft responded to controllers and landed safely in Cleveland, Ohio. In April 2002, interview with Khalid Shaikh Mohammed and Ramzi bin al-Shibu, who are believed to have organized the attacks, said Flight 93's intended target was the United States Capitol, not the White House. Let me reset here. During the planning stages, Mohammed Atta, Flight 11's hijacker and pilot, thought the White House might be too tough a target and sought an assessment from Hani Hanjour, who hijacked and piloted Flight 77. Mohammed said Al-Qaeda initially planned to target nuclear installations rather than the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, but decided against it, fearing this could get out of control. Final decisions on targets, according to Mohammed, were left in the hands of the pilots. If any pilot could not reach his intended target, he was to crash the plane. Let me say that. In closing, let me say this day will never be forgotten. 2,997 died and thousands of others were wounded, adding to the earnings and physical capital losses. Bram Orr and Rappaport estimate the total cost of the World Trade Center attack to be between $33 and $36 billion, with a B. Okay, just a final call for check-ins, questions, or comments. I'd also, I'm sure we all remember where we were and what we were doing at the time of the attack, so if anybody wants to chime in and what you were doing and what you were doing at the time of the attack, please do so. I know I was in a hospital there packing to go home to be discharged when the first attack hit. Nurse came in, turned the TV in my room to the news channel just in time to see the second attack, and then I was asked if that was a replay, and it was actually the second attack there. So any questions, comments, or if you want to mention where you were and what you were doing at the time of the attack, come now, please. This is KV9EWG. Okay, I'll try one last call for any questions, comments, or like I say, if you want to mention where you were and what you were doing at the time of the attack, what you remember, come ahead, please, now. This is KV9EWG.
Six, Victor.
Well, good evening to you there, Captain. Six, Victor. Go ahead and what's your comments, sir?
Well, I was just going to answer your question. I was glued to the television set and couldn't get unglued until it was pretty well said and done. And that's what I remember about all of that. I'm surprised and unhappy that some of the guys that I've heard talking about this program coming up that our members here at South Cars had either relatives that perished in this situation, or they had friends and acquaintances that were involved in the overall World Trade Center situation. But c'est la vie, that didn't happen for some reason. Thanks, David. KY6V, back to net.
Thank you, Gordon. Good comments there. And, I know my packing to be discharged from the hospital definitely got delayed. I wound up sitting in the bed there, just glued to TV as you were, even though I had to, pack to be discharged from the hospital there. I was in the hospital with the infection and was just getting ready to be discharged after a week of being on IV antibiotics. So, but yeah, I remember a nurse coming in telling me about the first crash there, and she changed the channel on the TV just in time to see the second crash happen. And I'm like, is that instant replay? And no, it was live action of the second plane. So, very sad day, that's for sure. And, Day America will never forget. I'm going to take one more check for anybody else with comments, questions, or if you want to mention where you were and what you were doing at the time of the attack, come now, please. This is KV9EWG.
KE5AOF.
It's our alien friend there. Hey, Alf. Go ahead there, Greg. And what's your comments, sir?
Well, I just want to say the day that it happened, I was at work. And we heard it over the radio, and my first response was, what have we got, a student pilot out there, or the guy was drunk, or what? I didn't realize that it was what it was. I just thought it was some guy in a commercial airplane that got lost or whatever and crashed into the building. And then, obviously a few minutes later when they said the second plane hit, I realized that we were under attack, and it just freaked me out. Being a veteran and being in Vietnam and everything else, I thought, oh, my God, I can't believe that the United States has been under attack. And it just freaked me out. It's a day that I will never, ever forget in my life.
Yeah, I think it's a day most of us will never forget there. That's a fact. We will never forget. That's a true statement. Well, thank you, Greg. Good comments there. And, yeah, like I say, I remember I was packing to go home, and my packing got set aside while I sat and got glued to the TV there. Anybody else have questions, comments, or just want to maybe, like I said, what were you doing at the time of the attack? I'm sure we all remember what we were doing at the time of the attack. Anybody else, questions, comments, or anything else to add to this before I secure the next year? This is KV9EWG.
Net Control, VK6BQQ, Red Deer in Western Australia.
Well, there's a voice I haven't spoken to in a while. Hi, Reg. Nice to hear you. This is David King on EWG. Go ahead, Reg. Your comments, please.
Yeah, very good, David. Yeah, the situation was, hence I was in Hamilton, Ontario, working with Ernie's Electrocom at the time, and I thought it was a movie until things really got gelled there. I know we were glued to the TV there with what all was going on. My question is, if they have the aeronautical folks heard anything, how in the world did anybody get to the various aviation people? You know, they only, from what I understand, they only wanted to be able to fly the airplane. They didn't want to worry about landing. They just wanted, and they were concerned about flying. What in the world was that all about?
Well, there's a lot of things to be, wondered about there. I believe a number of the terrorists did take pilot lessons there before the attack there. So, there's a lot to be thought about there. That's for sure. Good comments, there, Reg. Like I said, good to hear you once again, and thought you'd get some time. This is KV9EWG with the TIN. Looking for any other comments, questions, or like I said, if you want to say where you were and what you were doing at the time of the attack, it's a good time to mention it now. KV9EWG.
KE5ALF.
Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I'm a licensed pilot myself. I have a 1947 J3 Cub that I bought when I first come home from the military, and I didn't even know how to fly it. It's just that everybody was buying hot cars and everything else, but I've always been interested in flying, so I bought that Cub, and I thought, well, I'll learn how to fly it. But I got to say one thing before I got actually my wings, my license, whatever you want to call it, before my shirt tail was sore, was you had to learn how to fly, and you had to learn how to land. So, yeah, I agree. I always thought that was kind of interesting that somebody would go in there and want to learn how to fly a commercial jet and not be concerned about how to land it. I always thought that was kind of strange.
Yeah, that makes sense there, but obviously if they weren't concerned with landing, they were going to land a different way. But good comments there, Greg. Thank you. Okay, KV9EWG for the TIN. Looking for any final comments before I wrap this up. So come now, otherwise I'm going to secure the net. KV9EWG. All right, nothing else heard. First I want to say nice job to all the other commenters this evening, the narrators. This was I'm sure this was kind of a difficult time for all of us to present this evening, as it's such a terrible event in history. But thank you to all who participated, and thank you all for your participation. This has been SCARS, VOIP. Net schedules and general information may be found on the SCARS VOIP.com website. This has been David, KV9EWG, saying 7-3. Closing the VOIP session. This net is now closed, and the system is returned back to normal amateur use. 7-3 all, and good evening.